There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rippin'.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Member Guest Podcast. This is one of your hosts, Tony Hermes. We're very excited to have a couple of guests with us tonight. This is going to be a really, really fun episode. Andy, there's been 100 podcasts about Bandon Dunes and all the courses and which one's your favorite and what's your favorite hole and what'd you shoot on 13 or 14 on Bandon Trails. And we're going to have a couple guests on with us tonight to talk about our amazing trip to Bandon Dunes, but we want to have a little bit different spin on it, which is going to be the stories from Bandon Dunes. Yeah. You know, we have the four of us on this episode went on a trip last summer for my good friend Jack Reister's bachelor party.
Welcome to the podcast, Jack.
Hello.
and when we're thinking about some of these, you know, how could we share our experience from Bandon Dunes? And it's something we're trying to figure out what the best way to relay how good of a time we had. And we can talk about the courses and which one is our favorite, but we were chopping it up before the episode here and just having fun reminiscing about some of the fun stories that we had. And I think that would be a really fun angle to talk through it with the guys. So with that, I want to welcome my good friend, Rick Helling.
Beef.
What's up, fellas?
Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast.
Excited to be here.
Yeah.
We also have Jack Reister, the man of the hour. This was his bachelor party. And so we thought, what group could we have better on to share the memories of our trip and what some of the fun things that we were able to do at Bandon Dunes and maybe what you could implement into your trip if you find your way out to Bandon, Oregon.
Yeah, some of these things will be unimplementable, thinking about some of the stories we're going to get into. But maybe let's kick it off here. So, Jack, you had to pick a destination for your bachelor party.
I did, yes.
And what was on the list? Like, what did you think through?
It was Bandon Dunes. Number one and nothing else.
So really. One, two,
yeah.
And three.
I'm not a Vegas guy. I'm not going to go party. And so I wanted to do a golf trip with my buddies and Bandon was a place that I had not been before. So I wanted to go there and we picked it and planned it and ran with it.
I mean, yeah. Jack's a golf guy.
He's been to some places.
Few.
If he ran through his roster of top courses, yeah. It would be pretty impressive. But Jack, for those that may or may not know, played golf in college and is a very, very highly skilled player, has won the club championship at the place where we all play. And so it was really no other option but to go play golf, I think, for your trip, right?
And then the next part of that was going to be who you wanted to have on the trip, which I think this is actually a very good indicator of who a man is. is the people that come on his bachelor party. And I got to say, it was a pretty eclectic group.
Very eclectic group.
Phenomenal group of guys. Yep. Like, I could not have had a better time with that group of guys. So it was a mix of, you talked through it, but college buddies.
Yeah, it was a mix of my college roommates who did not play golf while we were in college. They made fun of me endlessly for playing golf. And then they've gotten into it post-college. So I wanted them to be there. All the guys I play, or a couple of the guys I played college golf with, wanted to have them there. Couple of kids that I knew growing up wanted them there. And then a bunch of Winsong guys too. A bunch of guys that I play golf with, and then a few of my wife's brothers as well. So
yeah. Awesome guys.
It was awesome dudes. So it was an eclectic group, like you said, and mm-hmm. I was stressing for a while of how are these guys gonna get along, because I don't know if they will. You got some wild cards in there. So I think everybody did get along pretty well, and everybody had a blast. And so it was fun to share with all my buddies.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we knew it was going to be an amazing trip when we got off the plane in Portland, and we had a big trek ahead of us.
Yeah. Well, So you and Cap kind of planned all the details. I remember we put deposits down and everything, and your goal was to play every course, which is a must if you go to Bandon.
Yes.
You have to play every course. Yeah. Because they're all so different. And you planned it, and so when you planned it, I think we played every course once, and then we played, which ones did we play twice?
We played Bandon Dunes and Pacific Dunes twice. So okay. two double up.
So we all met in the airport in Minneapolis, flew to Portland. Ricky has a great story about landing in Portland and when you were introduced to Ben.
Yeah. like Jack said, I didn't know. I only probably knew a third to a half of the guys on the trip. The other guys I didn't know. I didn't know what they looked like. I had no idea who they were. We were all in different parts of the plane. So we get off the plane and we make our way down to baggage claim.
Real quick, do you remember the Mad Hatter? The guy.
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
With the jorts?
I forgot about that guy. Wow.
Totally remember that dude.
I just remembered that.
Yeah, that guy was amazing. So, yeah, our trip started off great right there just with that guy being able to see his deal. But we all get down to the baggage claim and, you know, we're just kind of hanging around and you can start to see people talking to each other and talking to Jack. So I'm like, oh, okay, that guy's on our trip. And oh, there's another guy from our trip. And we're waiting for our luggage to come out and everybody, like any golf trip, you're excited and eager and like, hope my clubs make it, right? Like everything shows up. That's the most important thing. And everybody's kind of looking out for their bags. And we all start pulling our stuff off and we're kind of hanging around waiting. And next thing I know, I see this guy pull a legitimate handheld suitcase.
No wheels.
No wheels, dude. Like, I mean, I have not seen a suitcase
baby
like
blue.
This. Yeah. In forever. And I'm like, wait a second. I'm like, this guy's pulling a suitcase off that an 85-year-old man should be using. Because that's the last people who used one without rollers. Like, I mean, no. And I'm like, wow. I'm looking at him, I'm like, holy. And then I'm like, the thing is, the strap is broken. The buckle is buckled, but the strap's broken, so it won't. And I'm just looking at it, and he starts walking towards our group.
Like carrying it, like carrying this is mine.
It, carrying it, obviously. It doesn't have wheels. So I'm like, oh, my God, this dude is in our group. Like, this is unbelievable. So instantly, I don't even know the guy, but, like, it's too funny to not say so. You have to say something. Yeah. So the jokes just start coming out. It's like, hey, dude, like, what do you got in there? Like, a bunch of coke or a bunch of, I mean, because literally it looks like the bags you would see when you watch like Narcos or Blow or all these movies from the 70s and 80s. It was that kind of suitcase. So the trip started off amazing. Obviously got to know him. He got his forever nickname out of that trip. I mean, he's forever now known as Suitcase.
I don't even remember his name, really.
Ben. I know it's Ben, but I only know him as Suitcase.
And to my understanding, not just in our group anymore, like he actively tells people he's very proud that his nickname is Suitcase now. And he got that on the trip. And that was literally before we even got on the bus to head to Bandon. So it was an amazing start.
I can't wait to get into Ben's bag.
It's
when we get out here a little bit here.
So he was one of my college roommates. That's the eclectic group that we're dealing with is a guy that carries around a suitcase that looks like he just got off the plane.
I just remember like the first time I saw him, he was hauling the suitcase and he was just calling everybody chief, you know, he's like, what's up chief? And I was like, who is this guy? This guy's like kind of electric, but I don't really understand. He had like his hair like gelled back. And he was just calling everybody chief. But we went in Portland and we boarded a bus, which was chartered.
Yep.
That you guys set up. And it was like, it had perimeter seating around it, 360-degree perimeter ceiling. Coolers were filled. The boys started cracking open some beers, and we strapped into a...
four-hour trip?
Yeah, I think it stretched to probably five hours by the time we took a couple of breaks and But, yeah, I go back to just give a shout-out to Cap for planning it all.
Yes.
You said that we planned it. He planned most of it.
Yeah.
I did a little input there, but it was really him, and he found this bus. It was a party bus without the stripper poles. So that's kind of what we were dealing with heading
Thank
down.
Thank God and there was no stripper poles in there, by the way.
Suitcase would have been on it right
away.
And no room for a stripper in that bus at that point.
But, no, I mean, it was an efficient way to get 16 guys from Portland down there. You know, there's a lot of different ways you can get there, and I think this was a good one. I think they were out of Eugene, so it was a solid.
Wasn't super
it was a long
expensive.
Drive, and it was $200 a guy.
$200
it was pretty cheap.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun heading down there.
Yeah, I was just going to reminisce a little bit about Andy. Andy was riding the way back with me, and as we've talked about on this podcast before, he no longer has any beers anymore, which is totally, that's fantastic for him.
Yeah, I will shotgun a Coke.
But he decided that it was appropriate.
Which we all witnessed.
It was appropriate. As on any bachelor party, there's guys shotgunning beers or maybe having a shot or two or whatever, and I think Andy was feeling a little bit left out, and he decided he was going to shotgun a Coca-Cola Classic.
Almost threw up. It's a tough thing to take.
Half of it ended on his shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You probably would have thrown up if you'd actually done it properly and got the Coca-Cola in your mouth as opposed to all over your shirt. But it was still awesome. Yeah.
Andy, we had a little DJing on the way. I mean, it's a long drive. So, but you know, the vibes are good. Everybody's feeling excited. You're going to Bandon Dunes. I got on the DJ. We started playing songs with long beat builds. That was a theme.
Long. Extremely long.
Really
very
long.
Very, very long.
Wait for it. Wait for it.
It's going to drop. It's going to drop. And everybody was just going nuts. And then I'll never forget, like, when we pulled into the property, I think we were playing Darude Sandstorm really loudly in the party bus. And everybody pulls up, and it's just beautiful day. What did we do when we got there?
We played the punch bowl.
I know exactly what we did.
So the punch bowl is... Do you want to tell everybody what the punch bowl is?
Yeah, it's a putting course. I think they have 36 holes cut on there, so it was a good way for us. We just got off the plane. We were eager to play, but there wasn't enough daylight to play, so we just all grabbed a putter and went up there and grabbed a couple beers and started putting around. So we split up into two groups, one big money game, one small money game, and quickly lost a lot of money.
Within 20 minutes of being on property.
Yeah, it was not good. And Tony is smiling because he took it all.
Yeah.
Tony quickly won a lot of money.
Yeah. What was the game we played? We played skins, right?
Yeah,
$10 carryovers.
$10 carryover skins, and nobody made a putt until like the last hole or something?
No, it was like 14 or 15.
Yeah, Tony made it on 15 and was quickly up 150 from everybody.
From every single guy.
Tie, all tie, and then Tony had to get the skin.
Yeah. What'd you pull on that, like $1,000 or
something? I don't know. It made the trip.
More affordable.
Attainable.
Yeah. So the punch bowl was awesome. Definitely recommend that. It's just fun. There's like crazy slopes and greens. And I think the restaurant there, there's a restaurant there, right?
Yeah, it's the Pacific Grill. So that's up where Pacific Dunes tees off. Yeah. That's where the punch bowl is.
As a form of information, do you recall what space did we spend our nights in? What rooms did we sleep in?
The Lily Pond, I think, or Lily something Pond. Like that.
Okay.
They were east of the kind of the main clubhouse, so they were not kind of right there in the main area, but they were the cabins to the east kind of as you came in.
Yeah, I just want to, highlight that if you get on property, really anywhere you stay on property, it's super, super easy to get around. You call the shuttle, and they are there within a minute.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every time. Like, the shuttle, the operation, whoever's running the shuttle is abandoned. Like, shout out to that guy.
It's unbelievable.
Because you call a shuttle, and a shuttle just shows up out of nowhere within, like, 5 minutes every single time.
That was one thing that Tony mentioned earlier, that there's 100 podcasts out there about Bandon Dunes. That was one thing I had never heard of, was, like, how efficient the shuttle service is, and I would like to shout that out.
Because 100%.
It is hell of an operation.
Unbelievable. Yeah. There's hundreds of shuttles just rolling around.
Yeah.
So, we were settling in and we had a great night that night, and the next morning we were off and running, right? First round out the gate at original Bandon Dunes, right?
That's right.
I want to hear the first tee story from Ricky, with one of his playing partners, how he started off his round.
Oh yeah, well yeah. Here we step up on the first tee. Obviously, everybody's excited, and they're kind of sizing each other up. We are sizing each other up to figure out the game. The caddies are sizing us up to see if any of us can actually play, right? And like make sure we're at the right tees or whatever. So we're playing the back tees, and we get up to get going, and one of our playing partners proceeds to rip one about 300 yards to the right over the caddy shack into the parking lot. And I'm talking like not even close. I mean, no, and he's a good player, nowhere near the fairway. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's like he tried to hit it there. And we're like, okay, he's nervous, right? Whatever. So two off one, first day of the trip. It's fine. It's all good. He'll recover. He'll take a little deep breath. The funny part's over, So I'm not naming names. You know, if Jack wants to do it, he can.
I am. It's Grant.
Okay, so Grant. So Grant reloads, and we all, you know, of course, we give him a little bit of a hard time. The caddy gives him a little bit of a hard time. He's like, oh, okay, yeah, you're going to have to hit another one. So he puts down another ball and proceeds to hit this one probably 10 yards further right.
Offensively right.
Yeah, and he hit it harder. So that ball was for sure in the parking lot and deeper in the parking lot. And the caddy goes, I think you just hit my
BMW.
Was it? Yeah, whatever. It was something Trans Am or BMW Corvette, maybe. I think it was a Corvette.
I don't know.
Whatever he said. He goes, I think you might have just hit my Corvette. We're like, attaboy, Grant. Let's go.
Off and running.
He's like, I'll
pocket
just drive
six to start the trip.
Yeah, he's like, I'll just drop one up by you guys. I'm like, yeah, good idea.
So funny.
I'm sure the caddy was like, these guys are playing from the back tees.
Yeah. This is going to be a long day.
Long day.
Yeah.
Long day.
It was an amazing start.
So we had some really good games going. The actual operation there set up a Stableford game for all of us.
Yep. Yeah. It was quota points with the Stableford scoring. Yep.
And so they actually ran a scoreboard, which was like, you know, a couple bucks a day or something.
Yeah. It was like $2 a round per person.
So
like
worth
it was
doing it.
It was very worth it because you just, they gave you a scorecard. You took it, you know, you took down the scores, gave it to them. They tallied it all up and put it on the board. And so it was kind of a cool way to, no, you know, nobody gets stuck with the short end of the stick of adding up everybody's shots at the end of the day,
right.
Which is, you know, not fun. You want to go have beers and have dinner. You don't want to be doing math in a spreadsheet in your room.
Yeah, and that's another thing they do really well, right? Like the shuttles are amazing, but that kind of service, you know, the getting your clubs to the next course the next morning and all, you know, I mean, everything is just like for those of, you know, people that want to go and you've heard amazing things about it. There's so many, the details there are unbelievable. Like they're dialed. Like they know how to do a golf trip. I mean, like nobody else. It's amazing.
Yeah. So
it is catered for golfers. That's what you do there. You don't, you know, you might go and get a, you might go and get a massage or something, but it is, you know, it's a golf trip and it's one for the ages. It's a trip that if you're a serious golfer, I feel like you need to make the trek.
Yep. So we also had a group 20 club game.
That's right.
Whole trip, which was a blast. So basically what that was anytime somebody made it to, how many guys were on the trip? 12?
16 guys.
Okay. 16. Anytime
I think maybe 10 or 12 opted into the 20 club.
Okay, so there were four who opted out, and we're going to get their names in public.
Jack can also name their names. Yeah.
So anybody who made it to got 20 bucks from everybody. Shout out me. I think I made it to on the second hole, which was a massive exhale. Yeah. Like early on, I remember like I probably made six on one or something. And then I made it two on the second hole, and I remember thinking like, "All right, like we're kind of playing with house money here."
You and know, that's a serious, feeling. That's a serious par three.
Yeah. I hit a crisp one. So impressions of Bandon Dunes as a golf course.
It was my favorite golf course on the property. You know, the front nine is good. The back nine is the best back nine on the property. It was just, it was so cool. The views you've got, you know, views of the ocean the whole time. 16 is an awesome like par three and a half. And that's kind of a polarizing hole that was in our group, at least of some people liked it, some people hated it, and I loved it. And the stretch, you know, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 is really good. And it was my favorite golf course on the property.
Yeah. What about you, Ricky? What are your thoughts?
Oh, Bandon's awesome. Yeah. Dunes is, it's hard to beat, man. It's great. Views are amazing. It was a fun day. I mean, I've been fortunate enough. I'd played there before. Actually, the year before, and then once a long time ago. So I kind of had a feel for the property a little bit compared to some of the guys that had never been there. But, yeah, you can't go wrong there. All the courses are awesome.
Yeah. So we had – I know Bandon, you kind of play – like you start by the clubhouse, and you and the first hole is kind of just like – you know, you just kind of play up a hill to the right kind of, and then there's a cool little par three, and there's a kind of interesting par three, and then you crest the hill at four, and you see the ocean for the first time, really. And that moment at Bandon Dunes is a pretty cool moment.
Yeah.
Because you're getting to a stretch of holes that's going to be awesome. And then five, you play back. Five is a great long, hard par four. Usually plays into the wind. A lot of guys on the trip. We'll get to rankings at the end. But a lot of guys on the trip kind of had Bandon as their number one.
Yep.
Just an awesome, awesome golf course. Did we play 36 the first day?
No, we played 18 and then went to the Preserve.
Yes. So we then went to the Preserve, which is the par three.
Before we go there.
Yeah.
Was was your first round out the gate the round with Suitcase?
Yeah. Very okay. first round.
So I want to hear. Yeah. So tell me first of all, talk to me about what you thought Suitcase's game is going to be.
Yeah.
And then I want to preempt this by saying Suitcase's bag is made up of. What does he have for driver? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
A couple year old driver, I think. Yeah. Same with the fairway wood, but then he has a brand new set of PXGs.
Brand new. Yeah.
What does he have for his next wedge down the bag?
He's got the chipper. I don't even know.
He's got a chipper.
I can't even say that with a straight face. Like the kind that you see like advertised on Golf Channel like 20 years ago. Like if you can't chip, you can use this. Yeah, and he's got one.
Well, the best part about it is
unironically.
He's also got he had a brand new golf bag.
Yeah.
His suitcase was the suitcase.
Yeah. I want to hear about what Ricky thought of his glove.
This dude, man, I'm telling you, like, I don't judge. Like, I honestly don't judge. I'll play golf with anybody as long as they're fun to be around and they don't play ridiculously slow. I could care less if you're a 25 handicap or a plus 2.5. It doesn't matter to me. So I didn't judge. And I already love the guy because of the airport already. Yeah. Like, so he was in good standing with me. I was like excited to play with him. So we tee off the first tee and he hits a decent tee shot and he chunks his second shot, leaves it 30, 40 yards short of the green. And we're all, you know, my ball's in the green, the rest of us are getting to the green, and then he hits this 30, 40-yard pitch shot to, like, 25 feet. I mean, that's a pretty good shot, you know, from what I've seen so far. Good shot.
And at the time, you think he's, like, an 18 handicap.
Yeah, player. I thought, because Jack, I didn't know half of these guys, and Jack had said, he's like, yeah, most of them are pretty good players, single digits. He's like, there's a few guys that are, you know, probably, like, 18s, 16s, 18s, or whatever.
Yeah.
So I kind of just thought, well, maybe this is one of the guys, right? I don't know.
Because he looks like an 18 handicap. Yeah.
Well, and he's
like,
telling everybody his home club is
Rum River Hills. Rum River Hills. In Anoka.
Which is in Anoka.
Right. So he hits it up to like 20, 25 feet and steps up and just drains it. Like dead center. Like boom. Like, oh, wow. I'm like, that's sweet putt. And it was like, it was literally a perfect putt. Like it couldn't have missed. It was impossible it would have missed. So I'm like, that's a cool start. And then next hole, the par 3 that you birdied. Same thing. He hits not a very good iron, misses the green. He's got a really hard pitch shot. He pitches that one to the same thing, probably 15, 20 feet. Made that one. I'm like, all right. Like, okay, this guy's off to a good start. Like, it's pretty dang good for an 18 handicap, what I thought he was at the time. Then we play another hole, and I think he actually hit the green on that one, a two-putted. Then he misses the green again, like 45 yards out, up and down. He hit that one to like 6 feet and made that. I'm like, dude, like... This guy is the best 18 handicap on the planet. Like, he's actually got some game, man. Like, he wasn't really striping it, but he was figuring out how to make a score. And it was, anyways, so we get done with the round, and I think I go up to Jack, and I'm like, dude, I'm like, there's no way this guy's an 18 handicap. I'm like, he's going to kill us in this quota point game. Yeah. And he's like, he's not an 18. He's like a 6. And I'm like, oh, okay. That makes a lot more sense.
Ricky thinks he's playing with the biggest sandbagger on the planet that just shot 78 and he's
like
an 18 handicap.
Bragging him up on the shuttle back on the way to the preserve, and then even at dinner, I'm like totally bragging. I'm like, dude, this guy played out of his mind. He shot 70 something, like 78 or something, or he played great, you know. And then finally, they're like, dude, he's not an 18. He's like a 6. I'm like, oh, okay. He still played good.
All I know is Suitcase said a prayer to somebody before the trip because he had his career round. I think
he had like 7 career rounds in 7 rounds.
In 7 rounds. So shout out to Suitcase and his game.
So we did dinner we did the par 3, right? So we're at the par 3, which was a lot of fun. I think we went off as fives, groups of 5, right?
Something like that.
And the par 3, I think, is a must play.
Yes.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
In fact, I would have probably substituted one of our double rounds for another round there just to take it easy on the legs and relax and have a couple cocktails and hang out.
For those that don't know, a nice little tidbit at Bandon Dunes is your second round is half greens fees. So if you can find your way around to minimize some of the costs on your trip, you should absolutely try to play 36 if you can make it.
Yeah.
And I know the third round, if you can make 3 rounds in a day, they give you the third round for free. And I think on the summer solstice or something, if you can make play a fourth round, I think they actually pay you $100.
That's right.
Oh. Really?
So
that's pretty cool.
Something, a little tidbit if you want to try to brave that many holes in a day. But absolutely, the preserve is such a fun experience. We want to elaborate on what you thought of it?
Yeah, I think it was awesome. It's 13 holes. It's well conditioned, just like the regular golf courses are, which I think makes it fun. And then there's just a bunch of shots that you don't normally hit. And so yeah, we just went out there. You're not really worried about a score. You're trying to make birdies to, you know, mess with the group. And it was a lot of fun to get out there and just kind of, you're playing golf. It's a great view. It's a great scene. But you're not grinding over a long par five or anything like that.
It is. It's a fun place to play the 20 club.
Yeah, that's right.
We did do that.
We did do that.
20 club. I think it was just within our group though, right?
Yeah,
that's right. Yep.
Yeah. At the preserve. So,
well, I think we split up groups based on that, I believe.
Yeah.
We did.
Right. Yeah.
Guys that wanted to participate. Yeah. Guys that were, not.
I remember. I think we played the last couple holes like all of us. Right, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, they wouldn't let it. So we went off in fours because they wouldn't let us do more than four, which was dumb in our opinion. But yeah, then we got halfway through and just teamed up and all played the last couple holes together, which was a lot of fun.
And there's one hole there I remember where you kind of, it's like 100 and some odd little par three, and you can putt it.
Yeah,
down the hill.
I think that's
13
or 13.
13 is the last hole. Yeah.
Yeah, so ton of fun there. that night we had dinner.
Before we go to dinner, shout out Grant, the guy that hit it way right on number one. He also hit it to the wrong green playing the preserve, which I had forgotten as well until remembered that today.
So. He's like,
that was a tough first day. I said he recovered, but apparently he didn't recover.
No. Okay. I think alcohol might have been involved too. But,
oh, that's great. Andy, talk to us about where did we go eat that night?
We went to the little pub.
McKee's Pub or whatever.
Which has really good meatloaf.
That's right.
They did have really good meatloaf.
I remember Ricky got the meatloaf, and Ricky was like, the meatloaf's pretty good.
Yeah.
Good meatloaf, good poutine. They got some good poutine there.
Yeah.
One of our guys knows about
story,
the poutine.
Story on that later.
We'll get to that. Absolutely. So, yeah, epic first day. God, I mean, the golf course at Bandon Dunes is awesome. That's an ideal first day. Go play Bandon Dunes the first day. It's a great introduction to the place. Play the par three. Go have dinner at McKee's Pub. Went to bed. I remember I crashed out that night. Was tired. Got up the next morning, and I think we were at
Pack Dunes.
Pack Dunes, yeah.
Pacific Dunes.
Yep.
And how would you describe Pacific Dunes? Like, what are your general thoughts on it?
Hard.
Yeah.
Hard if you are a little bit offline. You can score out there, but it is a ball buster of a golf course.
Yeah.
So we get to Pacific Dunes, and I think we played, I want to say we were like kind of making the turn in my group. I think I was playing with Jamie and Joho and somebody else. And two groups ahead of us was Suitcase and our buddy Back9 Pete, BNP. And I remember one of the funniest moments of the entire trip for me was, I think we're like, I'm like making, it's kind of that back stretch of holes where you kind of turn around, and you know, you're off the ocean before you get to the back-to-back par threes. So I want to say that's like the
middle. It's like 7, 8, 9.
It's like 7, 8, 9. Yeah. Right. And so, Back9 Pete turns and yells at me like two fairways over. He goes, Andy, Suitcase is 2 under. Because Suitcase had one-upped his round at Bandon, and through 9 holes, he was 2 under par, just absolutely lighting it up, making everything. Did either of you guys play with him that day?
No, not that day.
But everybody was talking about it. It was after the round. It was like, you hear what Suitcase did?
Yeah, everybody's.
And I don't think Suitcase had like broken par to this point. Like, he was 2 under at Pacific Dunes, like one of the best golf courses in the world. Not easy, and he's 2 under through 9.
Yeah, unbelievable. So I guess I would describe, I think the no-laying up guy described it well, which is to say that Pacific Dunes is just electric.
Oh, yeah.
It's just heavy electric. Metal. It's heavy metal, right? Yeah. Like, it's just, you're out there, you're on the ocean, it's Tom Doak. The greens are diabolical in spots. The wind is blowing. The way the course is set up, I would say, like, some of the holes feel like they don't make a lot of sense with the prevailing wind. You know, like, one of the par threes plays straight downwind to a green that runs away from you, and they put the pin on the front. And you're like, okay, this hole feels like it should be into the wind, not downwind, you know? So there's some of that, like one of the really long par fours, I think like the longest par four plays directly into the wind. It's like driver 3 wood.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure in the winter when the wind flips around, it would be a different experience, but really hard golf course, I remember. I mean, I remember for me, one hole that stands out is the par four, I want to say on the backside, where you kind of hit, like, you can hit a hybrid or something off the tee, and it's the big elevated green that runs off the back and front. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I think that's on the front. One of the, it's like five or six. It's five one of the drive. It's like maybe drivable downwind.
Yes.
Yeah. And the green's as big as this table.
Big as that table and runs off everywhere, yes, down every single side. Yes. And there's a crazy bunker in the front, yeah, of it.
That's a heavy metal golf.
Do not mess that up. It's
like just, yeah, electric right in your face.
Yeah. There's also the, I want to say it's number five or number six, the ocean hole, kind of the, yeah, first hole you really play outside of Mandan or on that golf course, where it's a driver with the ocean on the right, kind of a, what do they call that? A cape hole.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I think it's number four,
number four,
right after you hit the Snack Shack, which, yeah, that is the best Snack Shack on the planet.
Pacific, yeah, Dune Snack Shack is, yeah, phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. Just out overlooking the ocean. First place to get a cocktail. It, yeah, is awesome.
Yeah, I remember getting to number four and being like, man, this would be such a good hole for like an Insta video swing. So I think I had fewer film a nice video. I get behind the ball and I think I wiped it like 100 yards right in the water.
Right in the Pacific. Pulled a Grant right into the Pacific.
Yeah. Yeah, so a little nervous.
I think I got a video Joe hole on that hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll maybe post that with the video.
Pacific Dunes, you know, I would say, like, you know, kind of, look, I mean, it's the highest rated golf course on property.
Yes.
By like raters and in the top 100 list and everything. It's ranked way higher than Bandon Dunes. In fact, I think I read Tom Doak say that, you know, it's kind of one of his like must plays, right? Like if you're on the West Coast, you have to play, Pacific Dunes. And I think he rated Bandon as like, if you're within 100 miles, like it's, yeah, worth checking out, which to me is asinine. Like,
yeah,
Bandon Dunes is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And Pacific really Dunes good. Is really good too. But I don't think there's that much separation between the two.
What do you think? Yeah, I agree with that.
To me, you flip a coin, really.
Yeah.
I would probably take Pac Dunes over Bandon Dunes, but like it's not by much.
No.
Like, yeah, you know,
no. I think that's the most polarizing golf course too. Like, I think that's one that if you're having a bad day and you don't keep it on those greens and you shoot a million, like, yeah, you're probably not going to like that golf, yeah, course very,
yeah,
much.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true.
I liked some of the tee shots and some of the vista, like the looks a little bit better, mm-hmm, than Bandon. Not that, I mean, Bandon's amazing, but just at some of the tee shots were really cool. Just frame the hole, and, mm-hmm, there's some cool things you can do there. That, you know, like hit shots we don't usually hit. I mean, I know a lot of people that do hit those shots that bank them off sideboards and, yeah, do stuff like that. But I think there was a little bit more of that at PAC,
yeah,
which makes it a little bit fun, more fun to play if you're playing well.
Totally.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like bump and run shots out there. Yeah. Keep it under the wind. You can hit like a, you know, your little shout out Tim Ertmer with the hybrid play, the bump and run hybrid play. Like that's definitely out there on that golf course. But it kicks your ass. Like it definitely. I actually played, I think, my best round at Pacific. I don't know what I shot, but I remember playing pretty well. But kind of walking off there going like, man, you know, that's a hard golf course.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Number nine, I just want to shout that out. Like they have, it's a double green. It's not a double green. They have two different greens.
Yeah.
And one, we played the first time was kind of, it goes down to the left and I think it's kind of a like meh hole down there. The one that goes up to the right is so good.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Is awesome. Yeah. And then it sets you up for the par three on the next hole, which you tee off, you know, you tee off down low if you play the low green and up high if you play the high green.
Yeah.
And I think the par 3 10 is better from the high as well. So I think, sure, that was just a cool, the second time we played it, we got to go to the upper green and hit from the, you know, hit 10 from up there. And I think that was a cool change of pace there.
Yeah,
totally. Absolutely. I remember on 9, the first day when it was, the green was left, I hit driver and blocked it right and hit a perfect tee shot as if the green were right.
Yeah.
And then on the second day, the green was right and I hit driver and pulled it left to the other green. So I was like, yeah. Also, another very sneaky hole on that golf course would be, I think it's 17 or 16, the par 3 coming
17.
In. That's,
yep,
a really good golf hole.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of a, it's like a par 3. You kind of hit, it's almost like over, you know, area and everything. There's like a big runoff area that kind of slopes, kicks everything to the,
yeah,
left.
It's like a Redan a little bit.
Kind of, yeah, like a Redan. Yeah. Yeah, really cool. The finishing hole is maybe a little controversial.
Yeah.
I remember, what was it, the second time we played it? Your buddy Max, who's like the long drive guy.
Yeah.
Did he hit driver there and like kind of cleared everything?
Hit driver wedge, dude.
Dude, on, yeah. Yeah, on 18. Yeah.
Yeah, he hit it over that bunker on the left. I was in the group. We were, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the caddy was like, no. Like, he's, yeah, like, you can't, he literally said, he's like, don't aim it. Because I think Max said, how far is it to cover that bunker? And he's like, don't aim at the bunker.
Don't
he's
even
like,
think about,
yeah,
the bunker.
No chance, right?
Yeah.
so he gets, I can't remember, I hit first or he hit first, but I pulled mine and I hit it really good, like really good. And I was in the bunker. I saw it land in there and whatever. And I can't remember if he's before me or not, but he hit his ball on literally the exact same line. And he's longer than me, clearly, like it's not even close. And I'm like, well, we're going to find out, because everybody's like, well, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. We're going to find out. We get up there, and dude, he literally had 160 or 50 yards in, and he hit a wedge.
Yeah.
And the sad but funny part is we made the same score. He made par. I made par. But, and we both had good looks at birdie, and neither one of us made. But, yeah, it was unbelievable.
This guy in the group, so he carries two drivers in the bag.
Correct.
One is a, like, crankhead, like, 4 degrees of loft, long drive. Driver with like a rebar shaft. Yeah, I kind of felt like it's like a caddy because it was like 90 gram shaft.
I think it's like a triple X.
Yeah,
it's like insane. It's ridiculous,
dude. It was like it was like holding a bar, like a steel bar.
He didn't even hit that one on 18. On the
he didn't hit
normal,
it on 18.
No, he hit his normal driver,
his cruiser.
On.
Yeah, like
yeah, his normal stock 380 carry one. That's what he hit.
He hit it on. He hit the big one on 9 at Bandon Dunes the first day. I forgot to mention, and I think he had wedge into the par 5 9th at Bandon Dunes as well. Like, I mean, it's a little bit like Bryson. Like, he can hit it really far, but he can also hit it off the plane.
Yeah, he's probably got 140 mile an hour club head speed.
I would say,
really
for sure.
After it.
Probably.
Yeah, I think he's competed in long drives.
He has.
And he's a total animal.
Mashed it. Just mashed it.
Yeah, so a lot of fun to play with. So, played Pacific Dunes. And then was that a 36 hole day?
Yeah.
So we went from there to Old Mac.
Was it Old Mac? No, I think was it Trails.
It was Trails.
I think it was Trails.
Okay, yeah. So we went to Trails. That was, I think, Ricky. I was in your group at Trails. Jack, were you in that group at Trails, or was me, Ricky?
No, we played Trails in the morning. I don't know.
We
played Old Mac.
It was Old Mac.
We played Old Mac. Which Old Mac, I would say. When you kind of dig into people's experience at Bandon, Old Mac's another one, highly controversial.
Old Mac's the one, for reference, Old Mac is the one that has the ghost tree on it.
The ghost tree on it, yep. And most people that I've talked to, I would say Old Mac's their least favorite.
Yeah. Well, the first time you went, you did not like Old Mac at all.
No, that's true. And
it was a distant fifth for me.
Really?
Yeah. This last summer, it closed the gap significantly. I liked it a lot more this summer than I did the previous summer. I'm not really sure why. I think
if I remember correctly, it was kind of in that transition. The first time we went, it was in that transition with the Poiana and the greens, where it was just kind of bumpy and it hadn't all grown in. And then the second time we went, the greens were a lot more
Poa.
So they're just more
Poa,
even.
Yeah, pretty much taken over.
Yeah.
Which was needs to happen on the other course. We'll talk about later, but
I would say, like, one thing about Old Mac to keep in mind is it's easy to go out there and sort of, like, when you're playing Bandon Dunes and you're playing Trails and you're playing Pacific Dunes, to sort of, like, rag on Old Mac. If you just went to a golf course to play Old Mac and there weren't, you'd be like, this place is awesome. Like, it's unbelievable. It's on the ocean. You know, there's, like, it's incredibly architecturally. It's cool. It's kind of a golden age architecture inspired C.B. McDonald, like, a lot of kind of replica-ish holes. There's like a road hole kind of thing. And so I think it's really cool. A lot of fun to play. It's sneaky, like super hard.
The back nine, if you play the back tees on the back nine, it is really, really long with the prevailing wind.
Yeah, I think people don't like it because of the template holes. I think that just wasn't a thing for a while. Mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of people knew, so they're like, what's going on with this green? Why are there seven tiers on this green?
Yeah.
And I think knowing a little bit more about the golf course probably helps you enjoy it. Mm-hmm. It's also on the ocean, but it's not really on the ocean. Yeah. There's like a big sand dune that blocks you from the ocean, except for like two greens go up onto that sand dune, and then you can see the ocean, and then you're back away from it.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, kind of a bummer when you come from Bandon Dunes and you're on the back nine and you're on the ocean the whole time.
Is it like five or six, maybe even seven, is the one that you hit it, your approach shot is like straight up the hill.
Straight
and that's
up
the first
hill.
Time you,
yeah,
you see the ocean.
That's the first time you see the ocean, which I think was cool that, you know, it adds an element of you can hear it, you can smell it, but you can't see it for the majority of the golf course.
Yeah. And one other thing it does, like on a trip, is it kind of gets you out of the weather a little bit, like the wind at least, because you're not getting smoked on the ocean. Like you have that big sand dune sort of protecting you from a lot. It doesn't play as windy. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's a good golf course too. I think it's got a lot of really cool, vistas and shots. I think another reason why partly gets a little bit of a bad rap is there's some pretty severe bounces out there that you could hit a pretty good shot and it ends up not being very good at all.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's a part of the design, right? Like that's done intentionally. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're having a day and you're just a little bit off and you know, you're hitting shots, you're like, oh, that should be all right. Like I should have a 20 footer for birdie, and you get up there and you got a 25 yard pitch shot instead. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, come on, man, are you serious? Yeah. You know? Yeah. So I think that happens, at least in my opinion, I think it happens more there than the other courses. Again, I'm not super experienced. I've only been there three times, and I've only played that course twice. But in my experience, I've seen more harsh bounces there and some bad breaks when you've hit pretty decent shots.
Yeah.
So. Well, the one thing that is coming into my mind about Old Mac, is that the course where AK was asking a million questions?
Yes. Yeah, we played. The three of us played with Cap.
Yes, we did.
And that was one of my more, like, the round was awesome. We played Banker, which was a blast, and we were just giving each other shit the whole time. It was so
I don't think
fun.
We've ever gotten into, like, and I don't want to totally derail, but we've never gotten into what Banker is on the podcast.
Yeah, we're gonna have to probably have an episode about Banker. So we should probably not dig too deep into the game.
High level
right now.
Though, it's like it's kind of a golf gambling game where it's a little bit like, you know, you one person's the banker and you're playing against everybody else in the group.
It can get a little nasty if you wanted to. If you don't want to, you get aggressive.
Banker sets the maximum. So you can set the maximum low if you're not feeling it, but you can also set it high if you are feeling it. And birdies double and par threes triple. Yeah. And so it gets out of hand quickly.
And you can double in the air once you hit your shot. And
we'll have to have a full episode about Banker. But the thing that I kind of remember is that, you know, we're in the midst of the trip at this point, right? This is our third or fourth round, you know, third official round, fourth if you know, if we're counting preserve and Cap's dialed, man.
Oh yeah.
He's asking.
He was back into college.
He was into college grinder. So
he was
back
college grind.
So
sesh.
Cap was an All American.
Four time All American. At the Division III school we played at. So he is a very good golfer.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable in college and he's lost it a little bit. He's got a kid now with him, you know. So you know, he went back into full grind mode because we were playing Banker, and then, you know, there's a little bit more on the line, and so.
And you have a caddy, and you're like, I got to work through my process here.
Yeah. So he was hitting the caddy with, like, on 16, 17, and 18, when we're starting to get down to it, and he's down a little bit of money, he starts asking, like, well, is it a 152 or a 153 shot? Because those are different. And caddy was kind of like,
he's like, should I hit it off that mound that's in the left center of the fairway, or should I just hit it down the middle of the fairway? Mike, are you serious, dude? Like,
it was so like there
those
was
kind of questions. Yeah.
Yeah. So there were like four holes in a row where he was just grilling his caddy with 21 questions about, you know, what kind of shot he should play. And it's just like, dude, just hit it at the tree that he told us to. The three of us hit it there. Like, just hit it there and you'll be fine.
You see that tall tree? He told us to hit it at that tall tree. Just hit it at the tall tree.
And so finally on 18, Rick called him out. I think it was on 17 Rick called him out. And then he was doing it again on 18.
Rick called him out again.
He just started laughing
at this point. Dude, I couldn't help myself because he's like, I know. He's like, he's like, I know. I get into my process. I'm like, it's fine, dude. But it's like, why so many questions? Like, I don't understand. Like, you're a really good golfer. Like, and he's like, I know. And then, like, sure enough, he did it again on 18, and I had to say something again. And then he got totally frustrated.
He flustered. And, you know, he had, like, a 9-iron in or something like that. He wanted to hit it tight. He would have, like, you know, made a lot of money back had he hit it tight. And he just, like, you know, sailed it over the green. I think he threw his club.
Oh, he helicoptered
45 yards, almost like into the woods. He was not happy, but that was that round was so fun. I mean, it was just a blast.
Kudos to Cap, though. Yeah. He recovered.
He recovered. Yeah, he was fine.
Oh yeah, we're all good now.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't trying to get in his head at all, but it was the whole day. And it wasn't even like us, like Jack said, it was a super fun round. Like, it was awesome. Like, I had a great time. So it wasn't like it even really bothered me, but I just thought it was hilarious that this dude's a four-time college All-American and we're on a trip for his buddy's wedding, his bachelor party, and he's out there acting like he's trying to qualify for the U.S. Open. I'm like, dude.
Just absolutely grinding.
Yeah, you're the best player on this trip, and you're like acting like, hey, should I hit it there? What? Oh, okay, you want it to end up at the tree, but should I draw it at that spot or should I cut it to that spot.
What's the wind doing again?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, dude.
You can see probably what made him really, really good in his
head. Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, but he's also not good enough to hit like 152 or 153 right. anymore. Like he's a 150 or 155 golfer now. So that was part of what made it fun.
Anyway, too. Sorry to throw into the bus.
No, that's
okay. It was really fun.
I thought Old Mac was awesome. Really liked it. I said at one point on that trip, this was an interesting game. If all five courses there were private clubs, which one would you join? And I had Old Mac up there for me just because I think it'd be a very fun course to play events, have all the cars, all the people out there. Like Ricky said, the vistas at Old Mac are pretty sweet.
Yeah.
The shot selection, the shots you can hit, the kind of, I would say, yeah, the unpredictability of the golf course just would make it really fun.
Yeah. It's definitely like one of the more, it's all in this big bowl. The majority of the holes are in this big bowl, and you play over that ridge on three with the ghost tree, and that's kind of your introduction. You crest that hill and you're like, oh, here's where the rest of the golf course is, which was really
cool. I've seen some spots on that golf course.
Tony. Yeah. You hit some amazing shots from those spots too.
Yeah. The first trip, I can't remember what hole is that, Ricky? On the back nine where there's that you it's the same
is it the
dune,
drivable
it's
the
drivable same, for
it's,
Tony
it's the and, same dune
and Joe and,
exactly
which we will get to.
It's the same dune that you hit over on the ghost tree, just extended off to the left a little bit. But the first trip that I went there, I was trying to hit on the green with pulled it a little bit. I'm a left-hand player and went over the edge and went down into the ravine. And
so far that the caddy said, I'm no chance I'm going down there. He's like, no one goes down there. I'm not going down there. If you want to go down there, go have fun.
Yeah.
Tony being a competitor is like, I'm going down there.
So I made the hike down there and I was breathing real heavy.
Yeah, almost had a heart attack.
I almost had a heart attack on the way back up, literally. Found my ball down on the bottom of the hill there and, hitting hope and somehow found the green. I had a decent look at birdie, actually.
He had an awesome shot from down there. And then the funny thing is, it's probably the most excited I've ever seen Tony since I've known him. Like, Tony's a pretty stoic guy and he doesn't show a whole lot of emotion. After he caught his breath and was coming up the hill and all the rest of us were on the green just waiting, like, where's this, and then I saw his ball. Like, I saw it come in. I saw the shot. It was an unbelievable shot. Tony's, like, coming up. He's had the biggest smile on his face. He's like, you guys need to come and see where I hit that from. You got to come and look at this. I was way down there. Hey, you got to come and look at that. We're all like, no, dude, we're not going over there. We believe you. Like, we could see kind of that it wasn't good. Great shot, buddy. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, this is like, a month after I was off my oxygen tank from COVID, it was pretty damn exciting at the time. So
yeah, so that hole we're playing and we're on the green and the guys behind us were playing a tee up just because it's an afternoon round. So they're having some cocktails and having fun. And your dad was in the group. I think he was probably a part of the reason why this happened. But I think it's like 250 to the green from that tee.
From the tee they were playing.
And Joho comes
who can
over.
Hit it. Who can hit it?
Hit it like
can
320.
Move it. Yeah, he can move it.
Yeah.
And he just decides that, like, oh, they're on the green, but I'm going to hit because I don't think I can get there. It was like 250 yards. And
I was in his group.
He hits, and we hear it, and we're like, that sounded like a driver. And Joho is, like, posing. Like, is that coming for us? And it, no joke, missed our caddy by, like, 2 yards.
Yeah.
Like, it landed on the green, and it sounded like a bomb went off on the green. And we're like,
we all just looked at each other like, what in the hell? We had a couple of emotional guys on that green.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let them know how we were feeling and,
So if you're playing that golf hole, wait until they clear the green.
Yeah,
that's right. If you can hit it over 250 yards.
It's pretty funny.
And also I wanted to bring up, I had it in my notes, the par five on the front, I think it's like six or seven or something like that, is the longest hole
ever
on the planet.
Ever. Yeah, yes. I know what you're talking about. The one that plays uphill?
Yeah, it's like uphill. It's before you get to the one that goes uphill to the kind of the crest of it. And it was back into the wind. Yes. And
I think it's three, actually. One is the
it's
short par
it's
four.
Five. It's five.
Four. Four or five.
I think four is the par three. So I think it's five.
Yeah.
Whatever the hole it is, it's right back into the wind or the prevailing wind that we had.
Yeah.
And I went driver, three wood, I think like 3 iron.
Yeah.
And I came up 20 yards short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was impossible. I think we spent like 30 minutes on that.
We were on that hole for a long time.
Forever.
Yeah. So, Anyway, so after that was our second round of the day that day, and you know everybody's shot by that time, right? And
oh
so,
man, yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot to do when you're walking, hiking 36 holes in a day, except to go maybe have a couple pops at the Keys. Restaurant, at Keys, and then kind of see what happens. Do we have any stories from that night at all?
I don't think so. I think everybody was pretty exhausted.
Yeah, we were gassed on that. Was kind of the second day of 36 holes.
I think Suitcase was like hard selling the hot tub.
That's right.
We're too tired, dude. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure he went in there by himself probably and just got after it. So the next day we played, I think, Trails in the Morning.
Trails, correct. Yeah.
And so I was in Ricky's group. I think it was Ricky, me, Cap, and who was the fourth in that group?
Was it Back Nine Pete?
I don't think it was BNP. I don't remember. But we so this is like one of my highlights of the whole trip. So Ricky just got his hip replaced.
Yeah. Like 3 months ago, two and a half months ago.
And at the time, this is in June, Rick was struggling moving. He wasn't walking well. In fact, every time over the ball, his hip would click. Like it would like that.
Multiple times.
Louder. Multiple times over the ball. It was like a very like concerning thing to hear. But, you know, Rick's being a champ. Like, but he had the cart. Rick took a cart, and he had the kind of the cart caddy, which is like the guy who was the man. Great guy.
He was awesome.
But he was like the relegated caddy for kind of golfers that were in a cart. And so he was like, you know, he was the cart caddy.
Correct. Because he was also recovering from something. He had a heart issue or something. So what he told me is any of their caddies that have an issue, they'll put them on a cart until they're fully ready to walk again. So that he was on a cart for that time being. So that was my guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure everybody knows, but if they don't, like, you cannot take a cart at Bandon.
No.
Unless you have like a medical reason to. So like, Rich had to get a doctor's note to get it.
Yeah.
And then the reason they have a caddy drive it is because there's no way to get some places, like if you don't know how to double back and keep going. Right. So that you have to have a caddy driving around. So you had your chauffeur all trip.
And on the caddy note in general, I think you have to take a caddy when you go to Bandon. I mean, I just like, you don't have to, but it just makes the experience that
it
much
elevates
better.
It for sure.
And the caddies there are phenomenal. You know, one hilarious thing on the caddy front is our boy Suitcase, who literally, like, he showed up multiple days to play his round. So Tony talked about the brand new bag, PXG clubs. He's got a chipper in there. He's got my dude has FootJoy boas on from like 2004, like the rainbow colorway ones, the original, like the first ever boa FootJoy.
And he's got a prototype golf glove on that he literally has had for 27 years.
For 27 years.
I mean,
he's had
15
the same
holes
club.
In this golf club, by
he's
the way.
He's never changed the golf club. I mean, this guy, like, if there's anybody that's ever looking for a discount, it's Suitcase.
Oh, it's him, for sure. He's the cheapest dude on the planet.
Yeah, at one point he was wearing a quarter zip, and I asked him, I was like, it had a club logo on it, and I was like, Suitcase, like, where's that from? Like, what club is that? And he's like, I don't know, man. And I was like, what do you mean you don't know? Like,
played there, didn't you?
He's like, I got this at a thrift sale.
Garage sale. Went to the North Oaks garage sale and bought somebody's used quarter zip for like $5.
So absolutely electric, man. He's got, you know, the suitcase. Oh, like, we were joking that, like, he's like a creative player. Like, if you created a player in a video game, it would be exactly like Suitcase, because he had on like a white Oakley visor with his gelled hair. He was wearing like a teal golf shirt that was from like Marshalls or something. And then he had white linen pants on.
That he wore multiple days because he thought we were lucky because he had his career around in
him. And he also brought tanning oil to Bandon Dunes in Oregon.
Yeah.
So anyway, all this made me think of, like, between the glove and the shoes, Suitcase also, and his suitcase, he found a way. He took a caddy every day.
Yeah.
So, you know,
he's the cheapest dude ever, but he would, you know, he dropped stacks on
the
caddy.
So, be Suitcase,
awesome.
Take a caddy.
Yeah, exactly.
So, the caddies there are the best guys ever, like, and really, really good golf caddies.
And they're going to make your experience 1,000 times better.
Yes, because they're all just cool and fun to be
on. And if you're playing 36 holes, like, you're not going to want to carry your bag every day. You're going to be exhausted.
Yeah. So, Ricky, I'm in his group at Trails, and I don't remember, like, Ricky, you know, his hip's hurting, like, but he's hitting it pretty good. Like, you were grinding your way around, like, you're pounding the driver.
Yeah.
Like, with one hip. I don't know how he does this, but, like, he literally has no hip, and he's just smoking drives. And the one thing, like, your irons were a little off because you had a little bit of trouble finding the bottom.
That's right.
And and so we get to, like, I remember I asked, because we, you know, when you're in the group, you kind of talk about, like, who the better caddies are. Like, you know, what's your guy like? And I asked Rick, like, what's your guy like? He's, oh, he's a great guy. Like, he gave me a lot of good numbers. Like, he's like, I don't know, maybe you've gotten a couple reads and I'm not, like, 100% sure about, right? Like, so we get to, like, the sixth or seventh hole. And, you know, I can kind of feel, like, not tension building, but I can just kind of feel, like, a little bit, like, the trust isn't quite there as much. Because, like, Ricky asked him, like, are you sure, like, on a line? And the guy was like, oh, I'm 100%. Like, you know, he was very convicted on the line. And it was a big putt, I remember.
Like, well, like, back to your point, I wasn't really striping it with my irons. Yeah. I was getting up and down a lot. I was saving pars and, you know, kind of doing that. But I wasn't hitting many great iron shots to give myself looks at birdie. On that hole, I hit a really good shot. Left it below the hole. Yeah. It was a really good, to me, it looked like a pretty straight putt up the hill.
Yeah.
So I was like, here's my chance to get, you know, get it going.
Yeah. And Ricky's guy gives him the line, and Ricky's like, I don't know, but it kind of looks like it does this. And the guy's like, no. Like, I'm sure. And I think this is not the first time that you guys had that kind of interaction, where Rick saw a line and the other guy kind of talked him out of it. And you could tell. So Rick hits the putt exactly how the guy dialed it up. It was not close to going in. Like, it was a very bad read. And
it broke the other way, didn't it?
It broke, yeah, the opposite, broke the opposite, which is the way I thought it was going to break. That's what I saw at first. But again, I'm a very loyal person, and this guy's been a caddy for there for 30 years, 25 years.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's got to know what he's talking about. Like, yeah, maybe, yeah, you know, I'm not seeing it. I think I'm good at reading greens, but I don't. Those aren't my greens, right? Like, yeah. So I'm very trusting. And even after 3 days, I was still very trusting.
Very,
I'm like,
trusting, yes.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go with what he said.
So the caddy, this is the best thing I've ever seen. Like, you know, you can, he's now getting frustrated, like, with himself. You know what I mean? Like, he's not even, like, he knows he was wrong. Like, he knows he messed up. And he starts, like, mother effing himself on the green. Like, God damn it. Like, he's yelling at himself. And it was just the funniest thing ever because, like, just knowing Rick and, like, how much he's, like, you know, Rick really wants the guy to be right, you know, for him.
And I wasn't even, I never once even gave him a dirty look or anything. No. I was, like, super,
super cool.
But I could tell, and I, well, that was the first time I realized that. I mean, the day, you know, the previous couple rounds, he had missed some reads and here and there, and I'm like, ah, whatever, it happens. You know, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And then I didn't really start noticing how much he was beating himself up until that hole. And then, because I heard it was clear as day.
Yeah. He was like, motherfucker.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know, I'm like, it's all right, man. Like, it's fine. And I literally was like trying to, and this guy's like, you know, 60 years old and had been caddying there for 25 years. So I'm like, I guess I'm going to have to give him a little pat on the back because it's like, dude, it's all right. Like, we're fine.
My guy,
like, he's like picking up his caddy.
Yeah.
Got to pull my guy up.
Yeah.
It wasn't long after that I was not paying attention. To this day, I was not paying attention on one of the holes. I didn't realize it. We had won the hole or something, and Rick had like a 3-footer, and he's kind of like waiting for somebody to say something. And I was not paying attention and didn't. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
I'm not paying attention. Made him putt it. He misses it. That was not a good moment for me. He's like, come on, man. I think it was for a 6 or something.
Who knows what it was for.
Whatever. Yeah.
So, but man, that was one of my favorite rounds. Trails, we'll get to the rankings in the end again, but like I think trails is like,
if I'm going to interject here, I like trails personally, one of, if not maybe my favorite course at Bandon Dunes. It's a totally different type of golf course. You know, it maybe doesn't get, this is a universal thing, but maybe doesn't get the rankings that everybody, all the other courses get because it doesn't have the ocean views. But the golf course itself, I just think, is an awesome layout. And maybe it's because it's a more similar type of golf course for part of it, like what we are traditionally playing here in Minnesota. But
yeah, but the take of, like, some guy's take was like, oh, I've already played that golf course in northern Minnesota. Like, no, you haven't. No, like, not even close. No. If the trails were in the middle of Pennsylvania, it'd be a top 20 golf course in the country.
Yeah, 100%. It's a great golf course. I think it's the best golf course. Like, I think the layout, the way the holes complement each other, the different types of shot you have to hit, you know.
Yeah.
I love the whole trip was awesome, but that's my, if to your point, mm-hmm. if these were all private courses and you had to pick one to join, I would join trails.
Yeah,
same,
would
be same my here. Yeah.
So it's, I mean, like, you're in the, it's such a different vibe too, because like you're in the, like, you're literally in, like, it's like, it's one of the best named golf courses ever, because that's exactly what it is. It's like, it's a trail. Like, it's a trail walk.
Yeah, it's
a nature
like,
walk.
It's like you're hiking. Yeah. It legitimately is like you're hiking. And there's a couple of holes, like, in between where you're literally walking on a trail that feels like you're on a hiking trail. It's, like you said, it's the best named golf course on the planet.
An extremely controversial par four on trails, which Jack rigorously defends, I think is on the backside, the drivable one.
Yeah, 14.
Yeah.
I know that one.
Very hard. Can you talk me through your defense of that hole? Because a lot of people think it's stupid. I actually kind of like your argument on it, but your stance is it's just a hard golf hole. Like,
yeah. I mean, it's just like it you can hit it on the green.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make, you know, an eagle or a birdie or three putt for par or whatever. You can lay up and try to wedge it on the green. You can make a total mess of it and make seven. But, like, the challenge is right there, right? Yeah. Like, if you hit a good shot, you're going to be rewarded, which I think is fine. Like, the green is really small, and you can end up playing ping pong and going back and forth if you're not on. But
what happens if you hit it right of the trees?
Well, you're the one that knows that. I watched that from afar. That was maybe a right ball like Grant's off the tee.
Yeah,
it was behind the trees.
It was right of the trees.
It's a drivable par four. Like, it's pretty narrow.
Downhill 200
feet, like, to a tiny little green. And it's not an easy, like, layup shot either.
No.
Like, it's,
and it's, like, 270, right? Like, it's not, like, or maybe 280, but it's not, like, it's 300 and
it's, like, 315. For some
yeah, right.
It,
yeah,
I was hitting 5 wood.
Yeah.
Well, and even if you lay up, the second shot is not easy.
Right? No,
it's not at
like
all.
You got to nip it perfect with spin to keep it on that green. That green's so small and firm and everything runs off it. It's not just let me just hit a 5-iron out there in a little 60 degree.
It's a fun hole. Side of the hole pretty much is like a line of trees that separates it from the next hole.
Mm-hmm.
Tony's right of those trees.
I am right of those trees. And we're playing a game, right? And so I'm not going to give up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm looking through here and my caddy's like, you got to bump it up here. There's a little gap up there on the tee box to maybe have a chance to get it up and down. And I'm like, I see what you're saying, but I'm going to see if I can find a way through here.
I got a window.
I mean, I'm down on one.
Trees are 90% air.
I'm down on one knee trying to like see a window. I'm like, I think I see one through here.
And the window is as big as that ring light. Yeah, like, there, you know, it was tiny.
Yeah.
And so he's like, are you sure you want to do this? I'm like, well, I got to find if I don't make par, I lose. So I have to.
Yeah.
I have to try. Somehow, some way, hit this like this. It's like a 60-yard shot uphill through a window that's 2x2, basically.
Yeah.
And somehow found my way through there, and I think it landed on the green and just trickled off. Somehow got up and down for a
par. Yeah, I think it was like a punch 60-degree that had to go 60 yards, like the hardest shot ever, and you missed. It came through the trees. Perfectly clean.
I could lay 10,000 balls down there and not do it again.
Yeah. Correct.
Everybody loved trails, though. I think best greens on the property.
Yes, would agree.
The greens were really, really good at trails. And just the overall condition of the golf course there was, like, amazing.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why I think the course condition at trails is second to none of all the golf courses there. And I think you just get such a unique mix. I think there's like 3 or 4 holes that are almost like dunes.
Mm-hmm.
The first, like maybe 1 and 2 are kind of like dunesy and 17, 18. And you get into the trees and then you go down into like a little valley. It's almost like a meadow. And it's just a lot of different types of.
The holes in the meadow are cool. Yeah.
Really right after the snack shack.
Yeah.
That hole downhill par 4 and then the other long par 3 and then the next par 4. Those are awesome holes.
Really, really, really cool holes.
Yeah. Yeah, trails, like, together, like, there aren't really any, like, bad holes on trails. There's the one that's really controversial, but basically, like, the whole, from start to finish, it's, like, a very pure, awesome round.
So we finished at trails, right? And we make the trek across the entire property.
Was that Sheep Ranch?
Sheep Ranch, I believe, right?
Lunch at Trails was awesome, too. That was a great spot.
I agree with that.
That was an underrated lunch.
Yes. Sneaky. It's the same pro shop as a Preserve.
Yep.
So you can, you know, get a nice breakfast sandwich before the round if you're out there in the morning or whatever. And it's just a really fun spot to sit, and they have a fire pit outside and whatever.
So we shuttled over to Sheep Ranch. Which the backstory on Sheep Ranch, for those who don't know anything about Bandon, is Sheep Ranch basically used to be, I think there was just a couple holes out there maybe back in the day, and you had to go into a sporting goods store in the town of Bandon to pay a greens fee to go play it.
Yeah, I think Doak had put like 7 or 8 greens on there, and you just kind of showed up with a 12 pack of beer and played wherever you wanted to go.
Wasn't it like something like you were the only group out there?
Yeah, or there was like 2 or 3, maybe. Yeah. Like it was definitely not easy to do, and not a lot of people knew about it for a long time.
So it is the smallest but most spectacular piece of property on the whole premises. I mean, the piece of property there is like beyond stunning. You're literally on a cliff for a lot of the round,
like half the round, if not more.
Yeah,
and it's not, you know, particularly. So we got there in the afternoon. It's a little bit kind of removed from the rest of the golf courses, like in terms of location. Played a game. Jack was in my group. Suitcase was in the group. Fewer and Joho, great group that afternoon. The first hole at Sheep Ranch, I remember quite well. Is it a par 5 or a par 4?
Par 5.
Par 5. You kind of hit, you know, you start up at the shack, you kind of hit your shot. It's a little bit of a blind tee shot. You kind of send it down the hill, and you crest the hill at Sheep Ranch, and you see the ocean there. We're kind of right on the first hole. And I would say, like, I think Sheep Ranch is best described as a amazing walk that you stop and hit golf shots on, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's more about and this is, like, for me, it was my favorite, and for me, Sheep Ranch is more about the experience of being out there, like the views, the how beautiful it is. Golf just kind of felt at Sheep Ranch like it was just the thing you happened to be doing, but you could have been doing anything else and still had a great time out there. You know what I mean? And the golf itself is like pretty amazing. I mean, there's some stretches of holes there that are.
I'm sorry for interrupting you, Andy, but I think there's an element there that's either makes you love the golf course. Or makes it maybe be your least favorite, and that's how strong the wind is.
Yeah.
You know?
So they literally couldn't put bunkers in at Sheep Ranch. Mm-hmm. So none of because of the wind, because it just blows the sand out of the bunkers. So all the bunkers are like grass bunkers, basically, which is kind of cool. Like they were still pretty penal if you hit it in them. But yeah, talk us through Sheep Ranch. Like, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was really cool. You showed up on property and the clubhouse is at the top of the property, which is not something that is there for any other clubhouse. Like at Old Mac, I mentioned you had that big sand dune that blocked you from the ocean. Mm-hmm. Pacific, you start behind a sand dune. Bandon, you can't really see the ocean from the clubhouse. Trails, you're, you know, off in the forest. So it was cool. You show up and it is, you know, 180 degrees of ocean right there, and you can see almost the entire golf course right in front of you. So it's a very different feel right off the jump. And then you like you said, you crest one and you're there, you're in the ocean, and 2, 3, 4, like you're playing along the ocean, and you keep kind of, you go out to it, you come away from it. I think Crenshaw described it as like a pizza where there's all these meeting points. And so you put 2 greens and 2 tees on the ocean and you kind of play to it and then play away from it and then play to it again, which I thought was really cool. Mm-hmm. I fall on the side of it's definitely like not the best golf course there. Mm-hmm. It is a total blast, and there's a lot of snack shacks. You can get a lot of cocktails, and like it's a walk where you're kind of checking out the ocean the whole time. It is not the best golf course. I almost called it like a pitch and putt. Like I thought it was very easy and short and
you're definitely small,
and I know that that's not the case for everybody, but that was my first take on it, was just that it's a really cool piece of property, but they just didn't quite have enough land for all of the golf holes.
Yeah, I mean, you're most likely going to shoot your best score there if the wind is down.
Yeah.
Your time at Bandon Dunes. So, but the views and everything that you have there supersedes everything else that may leave a little bit to be desired. I think Sheep Ranch is one of the funnest golf courses I've ever played. Yeah. Maybe
fun factor.
Mm-hmm. Fun factor's high.
Fun factor is very
high. It's awesome. The views there are amazing. Like those holes on the cliff are unbelievable. Going out in 16 and 17, coming back are just like, those are Those are really cool holes.
Yeah, absolutely.
17 is my favorite hole on the whole property.
That's cool.
I mean, it's like this epic tee shot where there's ghost trees all up the left side of the cliff, and you're literally, you see the water's on the ocean's on your left behind you, and you, it's not a long hole.
America is right.
Yeah, America is to the right. You, yeah, you have the United States to your right to hit it anywhere. And I mean, I kind of like have a little bit of a different scale on golf courses. Like it's, you know, for me, the fun factor like matters a lot. And like I had fun factor very, very high there.
Yeah.
Could have been the group. Played my worst round of the whole trip there, except for the number 9 par
driver
5.
Driver off the deck. Was like, oh, yeah.
Driver to like 30 feet on 9 was kind of sweet off the deck, which is a big par 5. It was like into the wind.
Yeah. Into the wind, and it kind of narrows up towards the green. It like, so you're hitting through a chute,
yeah.
And it, you hit driver off the deck. It was one of the best shots of the trip.
Thank you. That one felt good. It was
you and I were teammates for that hole, weren't we? And
we played a rotating match. Yep. Yeah, and then on the back 9, I was feeling very pressy, and Suitcase was like kept asking me to stop pressing, and I was like, we're gonna keep pressing, Suitcase, and I lost him a lot of money, I think.
Well, he was playing well too. That was one of the rounds really where
well.
He was,
oh, shocker, Suitcase was,
yeah,
playing well.
I know. Exactly.
I was trying to ride Suitcase's coattails a little bit, and I pressed 17, and it was a little bit, it was you and Buford versus me and Suitcase, and you and Buford are better than me and Suitcase, and but I was just like feeling it, and I remember I pressed 17, which I played well. The big press on 18 went OB left off, yeah, the tee. Ooh, yeah. So then it's just Suitcase, yeah, versus Fuhrer.
You kept
and
pressing and you ran out of shots. Like that was the problem that, yeah, Suitcase had, is that you had all your shot holes already, yeah, and you're,
yeah,
like, press.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it was. We had no shots coming in. And then on 18, it's Suitcase versus the two of the best players on the trip, straight
Suitcase
up.
Suitcase versus a +3 and a +2.
Yeah.
Tough, I mean, odds. He's a really good 6, but yeah, like,
yeah, against the guy whose nickname is Suitcase.
Yeah, I was cheering, yeah, right, hard, but screwed my partner.
Yeah,
sorry.
He played well because his pop stroke worked on that POA. Like you said earlier, you mentioned it, that golf course is going through the transition that eventually all those golf courses go through, is that POA is the natural grass out there, and they planted fescue on both Old Mac and I think they might have played in fescue on all the golf courses.
Sheep
to
Ranch,
start.
Sheep then, Ranch, you, yeah, for sure. Yeah, the first year there, the year before, Sheep Ranch's greens were mint.
Yeah, and then the POA starts to sneak in, and all of a sudden you've got these like popcorns of POA, and you putt and it hits one of those, and it goes. You know, it's not, yeah, like it's going a millimeter offline; it is going like inches off of line, yeah, which was frustrating for, you know, most people, but Suitcase had it figured out. He was,
yeah,
jamming them in the back.
Yeah,
of
he was hitting them. If they weren't going in, they were going 15 feet by.
He's just sailing, correct, over the ball.
And then he would make the 15
and
footer
then he would
coming
make,
down.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah,
he was grinding almost to a cap level on the back 9, trying to beat me.
Every putt.
Because we've played a lot of golf together, and he's never beat me, and he always talks a bunch of shit that he's going to beat me one day, and that was his chance. I was kind of struggling a little bit, and I think I closed it out with like a 2 pars and a birdie to, yeah, finish, and he kind of limped in, and Andy was pressing, and it was a, yeah, sad,
my bad,
sad 18th hole, yeah, yeah, when he learned
Suitcase
that they
was
were
down
not
in the
win.
Dumps. Yes. Yeah, he was, because he was up big. I think
he was.
We were up pretty big, and, yep, I just ripped it all away.
So that's our, you know, that's a recap of basically every course
every
that
course.
We played. Yeah. I know, you know, there was the guys played 2 more rounds again at Bandon Dunes and again at Pack Dunes, but we've already chatted about those. I guess. When we're, you know, kind of wrapping this up, do you guys have a MVP of the trip?
I would go back real quick before the MVP. I would like to shout out my partner, Kyle Crewell.
Yes.
For the last round we played, we just played a $20 Nassau, didn't do the changing partners for both the Pacific Dunes and the Bandon Dunes our last day. And similar to Andy, I was not stopping pressing. And I think we were down 15 ways on 16 tee at Bandon Dunes.
Yeah.
15 ways is
it was a lot of ways. And
it's hard to do.
We
That's hard.
Were not in a good spot. We were tired. And Kyle made a net eagle on 16.
Dug deep.
And then he parred 17 for a net birdie. And then I finished it off with a big bird on
eagle.
18.
Oh,
eagle.
Man.
We flipped it. We didn't lose a penny.
Wow.
We flipped 15 ways on the last 3 holes. It was, yeah, the best way to close
the last
the
day was great. We played Bandon and Pacific Dunes, which is a great way to close it out. Just hit the top 2, run through them, and Let's get to rankings.
No, well, I want to go before we get into the rankings of the courses. I want to hear each of you guys' MVP of the trip for the guys who were there. Andy, do you want to start?
I mean, I don't know how it can't be Suitcase. Like, just he was for sure the most electric person. I mean, sneaky second is Back Nine Pete.
Yeah.
And you know, Back Nine Pete really shined post trip.
Yes.
Actually, so we're gonna go off on a tangent here on Back Nine Pete. So I am like ordering Chipotle online like 4 months after the trip, and this is a guy I just met on the trip, and like he's the man, right? And I order Chipotle, and I notice like my portion is not good. It was a pretty small portion, so I posted an Instagram of it, being like, "Man, like these Chipotle mobile orders, like whatever." And Back Nine Pete messages me within minutes on Instagram, and he's like, "Was that a mobile order or an in person?" And I was like, "Oh, it was a mobile order. Why?" He's like, "I've been conducting a scientific study for the last 18 months. He's like, he literally goes, "I only have 8 more burritos to go until it's complete." But this fool has been going to the same Chipotle every week, right? For yeah. like the last year, and doing alternating between online orders and in person. He bought a scale. And he's started an Excel spreadsheet, and he's been doing a investigation into Chipotle online orders versus in person, and his findings are staggering.
What was his? You want to review what his hypothesis was?
So his hypothesis was that online orders are the portion sizes are significantly smaller than in person orders. Right, they skimp you on online orders. And he found after his like lengthy study, I think online orders are 23% smaller or something in like burrito girth, I think was like what his term was, in mass. Anyway, just an electric guy, but he's a close second. What about you guys?
Statistically significant was the word that he used. Yeah. Like he got it to a point where he had enough data to prove that it was statistically significant.
What a guy.
Back Nine Pete. So it may be a rhetorical question, but in Suitcase has to be the MVP of the trip. Yep. I mean, he had multiple rounds of his life on one trip. He also has the most iconic suitcase that's ever been in the history of the world.
Best nickname ever.
Yeah.
Top nickname that I have ever uttered out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And for me, Suitcase
white,
has
white
to be.
White linen pants.
Yeah.
Chipper. Terrible shoes.
Shoes that are from 1987.
Yeah. Miami Vice outfit.
Yeah. Amazing one-liners. Like
ripped golf.
Calling
ripped
everyone
golf
chief.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was the wild card of the trip, too. He was the one that I was most concerned about.
Make it or break it trip guy?
He's got a bunch of bits, and like if you're not feeling the bits, he will piss you off. But everybody was feeling
everybody's
the bits.
Everybody's feeling
this kid. We all loved him, man. He was the best.
All right. So course rankings. Jack, you want to start?
Sure. I had Bandon Dunes number one, Pack Dunes number two, close second. Like I said, the back nine at Bandon Dunes is the best one on the property. So I thought that was just the cherry on top of that golf course. Pack Dunes two, I had Old Mac three. I really liked Old Mac. I just think that was a super fun golf course. And I think it would probably be the one that I would join if it was a private club as well. Bandon Trails four. And then Sheep Ranch 5. But, like, you put Sheep Ranch 5, and it's still a really, really good golf course. Like, you're you know, it's picking between your favorite children on that one. Like, it is all the golf courses are spectacular. The entire experience is amazing. So, when you say it's your least favorite golf course, it's still one of your favorite golf courses.
Yeah, you go on any other golf trip, and that's your favorite golf course on the trip.
Yes.
Ricky, what about you?
Well, first of all, none of you guys have children yet, so to say that, just wait till you have children, dude. If you pick a favorite child, there's something wrong with you. No, I'm just throwing that up. No, I'm kidding. But for me, Trails is number one. I loved it. I thought it was great. I mean, I loved them all, so I'm not going to get into too many specifics. We've already talked about them. But Trails one, Sheep Ranch two, Pack Dunes three, Bandon Dunes four, and Old Mac five. But again, like Jack said, they're all amazing. Can't go wrong. I'd play them all every day.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And the best, maybe one of the best parts about Bandon Dunes is that anybody you ask, you have no idea which one they're going to say is their favorite course.
I think
course.
They did an online poll, and it was like every course got equal number one votes or something crazy like that.
That's, yeah.
Well, so, and everybody's experience is different, right? Like, that's the thing. Like, you might play one course and you're hitting it really well and whatever, you score well and you're like, man, that course is awesome. And then the next day you're not hitting it as well, or you're playing a course one day and it's blowing 30 and the next day you're playing a different course and it's dead calm and you're like, this place is sweet, right? Yeah. So it's, they're all amazing. And I think you definitely have your own individual thoughts on them based on how you played and what the conditions were like and all those kinds of things. So it does kind of sway.
Yeah.
I can see that happening for sure.
So,
what are yours?
Every time I think about it, it does change slightly, but for me personally, Bandon Trails is my favorite golf course there. The second and third are kind of a coin flip. Today I'm going to go Bandon Dunes, and then I'm going to go Sheep Ranch, and then I'm going to go Pack Dunes, and then I'm going to go Old Mac.
So mine has changed too since thinking about if I went back. It's kind of interesting. It has changed over time for me, because leaving, I was like, oh, this is the one I love the most. But now, like, looking back, and if I were planning a trip, like, which ones would I be most excited to play? It'd be 1, Bandon Dunes, 2, Bandon Trails, 3, Sheep Ranch, 4, Pacific Dunes, 5, Old Mac. So, you know, I've got Pacific Dunes a little lower, but, yeah, again, Jack made a good point. It's it's hard to pick.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that all of ours were so different there is, like, that's just evidence that, you know,
of how great
of a trip it is.
Yeah,
exactly.
So the boys were pretty gassed on the way home. We loaded up the bus and we made our way to the Portland airport. Everybody's feeling pretty tired. I mean, it's a lot of walking. We play a lot of golf.
Yeah.
And the turf is firm, so the joints are tight.
Yeah, a lot of hypervolt.
Yeah,
Theragunning on the way.
They had
back.
They had like a stretch, the complimentary stretch thing there too.
Mm-hmm. You took advantage of that, didn't you?
Oh man, I got rocked.
I partook. Was it right after you? No, it was right after. It was right after Andy.
Yeah. You and I showed up, and he was like, "You got to get the stretch."
Oh, dude, I was like dying. Yeah, this woman, whatever her name was, she was amazing. She crushed me.
Yeah.
So we go back, we hop on the bus, I would say the mood's a little blue. Yeah.
Shout out my brother-in-laws for being 30 minutes late for the bus.
Yeah,
too.
That which left at 5 a.m. right the next morning. Then that last night, some of the guys really got after it pretty hard. There was, a young man who we won't name was taking poutine.
Jack is not afraid.
No,
I will hear bus. Let me. I have something to throw under
taking
it.
Taking poutine to the face. He happened to be my roommate. He gets back to the room at like 1 a.m. and wakes me up and says, "Let's go party." And I was like, "No, thank you." I finally got him to go to sleep. He was in a dark, dark place the next morning. So we get in the bus. It's like a 5-hour ride and, like, you know, whatever. We get to the airport. Everybody logs in. And, you know, like, we live in Minneapolis, which is a Delta hub. So many of us fly a lot with Delta and you have Delta miles. Ricky's been with Delta since, like, 1984. Like, and I've never seen anything quite like this. It was one of the wildest things I've ever seen. Ricky's like, "Everybody, well, let's go to Sky Club." And like half the guys are like, I can't get in the Sky Club. Like, I don't know how to get in the Sky Club. And Rick's like, "I got you." We get to the Sky Club and Rick walks up and the lady's like, "Oh, hello, Mr. Helling. How are you doing?" And he's like, "I'm good. Yeah, these guys are going to be with me." And the lady's like, "Well, like which ones?" And Rick just looks at her and goes, "All of them." And she looks at him and she goes, "Okay, Mr. Helling, go right ahead."
It was like Oprah. Like, you get the Sky Club. You get the Sky Club.
12 guys go walking in the Sky Club. Ricky comes in last and he looks at me and he gives me a little wink and he goes, "That's some show shit, baby."
That's how you roll in the show right there.
Oh, man. Yeah. It was one of the all-time baller moves I've ever seen.
You get
in
like
my life.
Two guest fees or two literally guest passes a year.
We don't know.
I don't know how you had like 17, but
they weren't even passes. I didn't even have to use a pass. I just literally.
They're coming in.
It was like Moses parting the Red Sea.
Okay, worst thing she could have done is said no. She didn't. She said yes.
One of the coolest things I've ever seen. So we flew back, and man, I'll tell you what, like, Bandon Dunes is the trip to go on. It's in the great thing about Bandon Dunes is this. So I've been to Scotland twice. I love Scotland. I drafted Scotland in our brand draft. I mean, there are a few guys that love Scotland more than I do. I will say, like, the great thing about Bandon is it's kind of a pain in the ass to get to. Once you're there, though, you're there.
Yeah, that's part of the draw to it.
Totally.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, you're 10 minutes away in a shuttle from the first tee of every golf course, max, right? And, it's not like going to Scotland or other places where you got to get in a car and drive 2 hours to play your next golf course. So you're there. You're lost in the property. It's a, all-encompassing experience. Like, I didn't think about like work one time when I was there. Mm-hmm. I didn't think about anything other than just like having fun with the guys.
100%.
So can't say enough good things about Bandon Dunes. It is a phenomenal golf trip. And with that, any closing thoughts from you guys?
Yeah, I would say stay on property, take a caddy every time, play as much golf as you can, and just have a blast.
Oh, one other thing don't do, like, we did it and it was great, which was like the fancy steakhouse dinner the last night. It's kind of unnecessary.
Yeah, you can do it if you want. Like, yeah, it was good. You don't have to do it. Yeah, that was definitely
when you're
not
playing golf all
yeah
day. You just want like a sandwich.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, a burger and two beers and bed is kind of what you want.
So,
with that,
we'll close. Thanks for joining us,
thanks,
guys.
Thank you, guys.
That was awesome.